Parshas Shmos Tavshin Samach Tes. Our subject today is the fundamental principle of Judaism as we practice it today, and that is, on what is our trust in the truth of the Torah based? How do we know that what we have today as the Torah came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being that we ourselves call the Torah Torah's Moshe, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi. We call it Moshe's Torah. We admit that Moshe wrote the Torah, and yet we trust that every single word in the Torah is from Hashem and not from Moshe. So the question is, how do we know that? What is our faith based on? Now, let's just remember that the faith of the Jewish people today and the faith of the Christian people and the faith of the Islamic people today can all be kind of described in the same way. We trust that what our parents are telling us is true. And we will, not only do we trust that what our parents are telling us is true, we know that we all of us, have ancestors who died for the truth of their faith, belief in their in their ideas that have been passed down. We all have Mesorah. We all have Emunah. We're all willing to die for it in greater or lesser numbers. So what makes it different? And the answer, first and foremost, is nothing nowadays that you can prove, but you have to go back to the first generation and how that generation accepted their faith. So the first main generation of Christianity, the first large-scale adoption of Christianity, not in isolated people and little groups, but the first large-scale adoption of Christianity was clearly, openly recorded in every history book you want to look at. In the year 313, the Emperor Constantine of the Roman Empire officially converted the empire to Christianity by threat of death, period. All pagan temples were converted to Christian churches, and anybody who continued to worship any of their idols that were not adapted to and inserted into Christianity in 100 different forms, okay, because they did a lot of adaptation and inclusion of many, many pagan ideas, gods, concepts. They just all kind of, brought it under the umbrella of Christianity. By the way, the popes were no more than Roman emperors with different names, with the same brutality and control of all people and huge, huge hunger for wealth and opulence, and with their dungeons and their tortures, the same like the Roman Empire. But in any case, they called it Christianity, and anybody who persevered in serving their old, idols was under threat of death, baptism or death, and they continued that policy for a very long time. And we were also victims of that policy. But the point is that that's how the first main generation of Christianity started. And then they started keeping the Christian laws, and they passed it on to their children. And if their children would have asked that first generation, well, did you all see, the miracles of Yashka? Did you all see that Yashka is the Son of God? They would answer, no, but this is how we live from here on in. And it became accepted. And you have great people, even among the Christians, who are willing to give up their lives for the principles they believe to be true, and the truth of the Pope, and the divine origin of the Pope's authority, and things like that. With Islam, Mohammed basically took his bloodthirsty Arabic tribes that were populating the desert, gave him a cause, swept through the Arabian Peninsula into North Africa, and gave him an opportunity to pillage and steal and rape and murder, all in the name of Mohammed's new message. And he had many, many interested followers, because that's what they like to do anyway. And if you would ask any of those people that accepted Islam at the threat of death, that did they see Mohammed be spoken to by God? Did they see Mohammed do the miracles? They would say, no, we actually don't know Mohammed, but this is how we live, and we pass it on to our children. So everything's the same after the first generation, but the first generation makes all the difference in the world. We do not have a legend anywhere that we have some charismatic warlord leader who gathered up peoples in the Near East in the Fertile Crescent with the concept of one God and spread through the whole area of ancient Canaan and Lebanon, what today is Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Iran and North Africa, spreading the concept of one God by threat of death. We have no such legend. And the reason we don't have legend is because it didn't happen. And the reason they have those stories is because it did happen. Because history, and it's on such a large scale, can't be fabricated. So how does our first generation start? So now we say, okay, we came out of Mitzrayim. We came out of Mitzrayim, we received the Torah. So what do we trust that the Torah that we received, on what basis do we trust that the Torah we received is true? That's our question. That is our question. Is it all the miracles that we experienced? How do we answer the question on what is our faith based? That's question number one. And number two, what happens when that faith is questioned? So what we're going to start doing is we're looking into a pasuk, a very famous pasuk, and the pasuk yet is written in an awkward style and difficult to understand on a pshat level. But Rambam uses this pasuk as one of the fundamental two psukim, really, to prove what the basis of our faith is. Okay? So in Parsha Shemos, Moshe's by the Sneh, Hashem just says to him, I'm going to save Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Perek Gimel, Vayomer Moshe El Ha Elokim, and Moshe said to Elokim, carefully now, Mi Anochi Ki Elech El Paro, who am I that I should go to Paro? Simple reading, you might think, like, what are you picking me for? What is this, just humility, or he's just wants to know why God's doing what he's doing? Is it an appropriate question? If a God says, I want you to do something, you don't say, oh, why me? Well, there's something deeper to the question. And then he says, V'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. Hashem just said, I'm going to send you to take b'nei Yisrael of Mitzrayim. So now he's saying, who am I that I should take them out of Mitzrayim, or that I can take them out of Mitzrayim? He's questioning God's, like a child, like a young child would do to a parent. But we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. There's obviously more to the pasuk, and the way you know that there's more to the pasuk is by the strange answer that Hashem gives him. That doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't even flow as a logical sequence of ideas. So Hashem answers him, Ki eye imach, because I will be with you. So maybe the way you can read it, if you stretch a little bit, who am I? I'm not worthy. And Hashem says, you're right, you're not worthy, but I'll be with you. So that's why I'm sending you. Okay. V'zelecha ha'os, and this is a sign, ki anochi shalachticha, that I sent you. Stop. What's the sign that I sent you? Moshe is standing now in front of the sneh. So if you want to go by Rashi, pshat, is this is the sign that I sent you. Now, wait. Moshe's speaking to God, and God said, I'm sending you. So why does he have to give him a sign that he's sending him?
Everybody else.
But no one sees the sneh. Moshe's doing it alone. So then Hashem adds, Behotziacha es ha'ami Mitzrayim, when you take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, you will serve God on this mountain. So Rashi says, okay, you asked two questions. Rashi reads it like this. You asked, who am I? And the answer to that, according to the easiest kind of way to maneuver in the pshat here, because it's awkward, is you're not really worthy, but I'll be with you, so, you know. But somehow, obviously, that leads to the next discussion, which we did last year, which is, why does Hashem need a shaliach? By Makos Bechoros, Hashem said, Laniva lo shaliach. He dispensed with the shaliach. Moshe's name's not mentioned in the Haggadah at all. So why does Hashem need a shaliach, and what kind of shaliach is Moshe? Is he a shaliach? We spoke about this. Does it sound familiar at all? Is he a shaliach like a shaliach tzibor who's speaking on behalf of Hashem, like a shaliach tzibor speaks on behalf of the congregation? Or is he a shaliach like Avraham sent Eliezer, do this job for me, but Eliezer did it his own way, the best he could with his own words? Which kind of shaliach is Moshe? And we spoke about that in certain ways Moshe's the shaliach that is like the shaliach tzibor that's speaking on behalf of the people and is not representing himself at all independently. But there are certain areas, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, but there are certain areas where Moshe is like Eliezer, Eved Avram. He's got to get the job done the best way he knows how. So what type of shaliach was Hashem sending Moshe here? When he went to Paro, what kind of shaliach was he? And we spoke about this, so it's not for now. In any case, according to Rashi, you're going to be a shaliach, and you're going to fulfill this role for, you know, the way in various permutations. And then you asked, according to Rashi, another question: what is the zechus of Klal Yisrael that they should be taken out of Egypt? Which is a creative reading of the pasuk, you might say. In other words, it doesn't say that in pshat, okay? But Rashi's saying what he means here is: what is their zechus? Who am I? What type of shaliach am I, etc.? What do you want from me? In the end, you won't even mention my name, so what's my job? And who are they that they deserve it? And then Hashem said, their merit is that they will eventually serve me on this mountain. The merit is in the future that they're going to come here and receive the Torah. That's how Rashi reads it. Okay. But Rambam doesn't read it like that at all. Rambam goes in a whole different direction. And the question revolves around, what is the sign? Zelecha ha'os. Is that part of the first answer? In other words, according to Rashi, who am I? What type of shaliach do you want me to be? And Hashem says, I'm going to be with you. In a sense, you're a shaliach tzibor. You're not representing yourself. You're speaking on my behalf. And this is the sign that I sent you. Look at the sneh. The sneh is burning. But the fire is burning, but the sneh is not consumed. So you are representing me, but that will not destroy you and not consume you, even though you're, in a sense, speaking for the Shechina. And the Chazal tell us the Shechina spoke through the mouth of Moshe. But you will survive it. You will be an extension of me somehow, a shaliach that's not doing anything on your own, strictly representing me, and you'll survive the experience. So the oath is to Moshe that he's a strange kind of shaliach on working with Hashem. Separately, the fact that Klai Yisrael will come to this mountain and serve me, that's why they have a zechus to go out of Mitzrayim. That's their merit. So Rashi's putting Zelecha Ha'os for Moshe. Okay, this is a sign, that's for Moshe. Okay. Rambam doesn't see it at all. So take the sheets. This is the 8th chapter of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Fundamental. Now remember this, just a little history. If you lived in the year 800 or so, how many books would you have on your bookshelf? You would have the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim. And you would, maybe if you were lucky, there were the beginning of books being written. No one ever wrote anything after the Ksuvim was closed. There were some extra outside books, the Book of the Maccabees, that's true, was written. There were some apocrypha, we call it. They were not included in Tanakh. They're not as authentic. They're not as trustworthy. But you might have a couple of those history books on your shelf. And then if you lived in the 800s in Bavel, you would begin to accumulate one book that tries to codify halacha. You're dealing with Gemara. You have a Gemara. And halacha, you know how Gemara works. It's like free association in a certain way. You don't have a code of law on topics. So you would begin to find beginnings of Sfarim that are codifying law before the Rambam's monumental work of the Mishnah Torah, which superseded everything before it. There were some attempts. But what about philosophy? What about philosophy books? The first philosophy book to be written that was authentic and legitimate and made a huge impact was of Sadi Gaon, which is called Emunot V'Deot. And that began that opened the door for philosophical books. Then you have the era of these were the Gaonim, then you have the era of the Rishonim, really, and that's where all the philosophical books began to be written, starting the year 1000, 1100, 1200. Then you began to accumulate all those famous books we use now. The Balakeda, well, he was much later, actually, he was the end of it. But you have the Ramban start writing philosophy. For the first time, you get concepts, philosophical concepts put in order, and of course, as we said, Rambam, halachic concepts put in order. So, here is the Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Shmini, and his job here is the Rambam. Why do we believe the Torah is true? How do we know? What happened? Okay, he deals with the Yesodos. So, he says the following. Let's read together. Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Lo heminu bo Yisrael mipnei ha'osa sh'asa. They did not believe in him because of the miracles he did. Stop right here. You should have a question. It says straight out in the Torah. We say it every day in davening. At what point did they believe in Moshe? Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw all the Egyptians dead. Ve'aminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdos. Hold that question. Rambam knows that too. But he says they did not believe in him because of the miracles he did. Why not? And Rambam is a philosopher. He's a logical person. He's talking logic here. He's talking to anyone whose brain is thinking. Okay, not just, not this is not an emotional, our attachment to our religion, our faith in it, our trust, our willingness to die for it, is not some emotional, passionate thing, it's logic. It says, Shamamin apia osos. Anyone who believes because of a miracle, yesh belibo dofi, he really has a doubt in his heart. She'efshah she'yase ha'os belat v'kishav. Maybe it was done with some trick. And you know in Egypt, they did a lot of tricks, and they had a handle on magic. And they were much better at manipulating natural forces than we are. They had a whole koach there. They worked with the stars. We don't even know about them anymore. They were able to predict future. They were able to figure out the 12 months, the 12 major constellations, and the powers of those constellations, which today, by the way, You can see in if a person's fall is born under a certain sign, they have certain tendencies very often, and it's MS, it's true. And how do they figure it out? We're lamalim in hamazel, which means we can overcome it with our knowledge, our bechira, but there's no question that people have tendencies and personalities based on the sign they're born under and the power of the stars. So he says that they knew a lot of this kishuf and magic, and a person could say, you know what, maybe, the person tried to convince me, but he did it with a sign, a great miracle, so, you know, there's not a certain absolute security that what they said is true. Ella kola osa shasa Moshe b'midbar, and this is a very strange idea. All the miracles that Moshe did in the midbar, not talking about the makos, which Hashem did leman yedu Mitzrayim, so that Mitzrayim shall know that I am Hashem, controller of heaven and earth. But he says all the miracles that Moshe did in the midbar, lefi hatzorech asam, he did them according to the need, lo lahavi raya al hanavua, and not to prove that he was a navi. For example, he needed to drown the Egyptians. Kares hayam, so he split the sea and churned them up inside. It's lilam besocho. Tachenu lamazon, we needed food. Horid lanu asaman, so he brought us man. Samu, they were all thirsting. Baka lahen es ha'evan, he split the rock. Kafru bo adas korach, this is very important, we're going to get back to this. Korach's eda was kofer, they denied his validity. Bala osan haaretz, so the earth swallowed them up. V'chein shar kol ha'osos. And that's the case with all the miracles that Moshe did, never to prove that he's a Navi. Now, careful again, here's another question. Number one, our first question was, v'yamina b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. So what do you mean they didn't believe in him because of Osos? Second of all, he says that the Korach's ground opened them up, the ground opened up to swallow Korach, because they were protesting, they were denying the validity of Moshe, so he did it because he needed to get rid of them, but not to prove that he's a Navi. But if you go to Korach, flip to Korach, and let's read the Pasuk on page 848. I'm sorry, not 848, 826. Moshe says to them, Bayomer Moshe bezos teidun ki Hashem shalachani. This is how you're going to know that Hashem sent me. Lasos is kol hamasa me'ela, to do all these things. Kilomi libi, that it's not from my own heart, but that God sent me. So he uses the ground opening up as a proof that Hashem sent him. Okay, so we have to read those pasukim more carefully. Rambam also knows that pasuk, and he says that what he did to Korach was not to prove that he's a Navi. Okay, so go on. Ubamai haminubo. So how did we know Moshe was, how do we trust Moshe, and what does the word trust mean according to Rambam? Trust what? Trust him. That, this is critical. When we say trust Moshe, what we mean is trust him that the Torah he's giving us comes from God. That's what he's asking about. How do we trust Moshe that when he says, Ko Amar Hashem, that's true? How do we trust that we're going to accept the Torah with 613 million mitzvahs, as we really know, from Moshe, okay, based on what? So he says, not based on his miracles. That's not why we trust Moshe. Rather, why do we trust him? B'mamar Har Sinai. Only through what happened at Har Sinai. That's why we trust Moshe. That the Torah he's telling us is from God. Why? Simply, she'einenu ra'u v'lo zar. Because our eyes saw, and not a stranger telling us what they saw as in Christianity or Islam. Ve'einenu shamu, and our ears heard. Vazneinu shamu, and our ears heard. V'lo acher, not somebody else's ears heard. We heard the esh, the fire, the kolos, the thunder, lepidim, the lightning, v'hu nagash el harafel, and he came into the cloud, v'hakol medaber elav. Now, and that God was speaking to him with a voice, and these are the most important words. V'anu shomin, and we heard it. And what did we hear? We heard, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahen kach v'kach. Moshe, go tell them that and that. We heard Moshe receive Nevuah. If you have to do it, do it with a bang. We heard Moshe receive Nevuah. This is why we trust Moshe, because we heard Hashem speak to Moshe. What he's saying is, every Jew, at the moment of Har Sinai, according to their capacity, because it is an individual, became a Navi and heard Hashem speak to Moshe. That's what happened on Har Sinai. That has nothing to do with the miracles Moshe did. We witnessed Moshe becoming a Navi. We witnessed Moshe being trusted, charged by Hashem to go convey Torah to us. That's what Rambam says is the yisod of Judaism. The fact that we heard Hashem on Har Sinai. V'chein Omar, and that's what it says. Panim, b'panim diber Hashem imachem, Hashem spoke to you, each of you, face to face, v'nemar. And as we said, lo asav aseinu karas Hashem asav bris, that's not just with our grandparents, the avos or something, did Hashem make a bris. With us, we experienced it. Uminayin shemamed Har Sinai levadu hu harayel inavaso shehi emes she'im badofi. And what's the proof in the Torah? That Mamad Har Sinai is the single and only necessary proof that the Torah is from Hashem and Moshe is a proper Navi and his Navu is Emes. And there's no doubt after that. And then he quotes the Pasuk, you can flip to Shemos, Perek Yotes Pasuk Chaf. This is the fundamental Pasuk. This, there's two of them. Perek, page 404. Page 404. Hold on. No, I'm sorry. No, no, no. No, that's not it. I wrote the wrong. Bavor Yishma Amadavrimach. Okay, one second. The pasuk is Hashem said to Moshe, "Come up the mountain," and he says, and he said to Moshe, "No, we'll find this pasuk." The pasuk is the following here. He said to Moshe, "Hine anochi ba elecha ba'av ha'anan." What page are we on? Okay, here. Oh yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. Tes. Vayomer Shemel Moshe. No, pasuk tes. Vayomer Shemel Moshe. Hine anochi ba elecha. I am coming to you ba'av ha'anan, in the thickness of the cloud. Now look at the next words. Ba'avur yishma ha'am bedabri imach, so that the nation will hear me speak to you. V'gam b'chaya minul olam, and then they will trust you forever. So, the emuna that we're speaking about here, when Rambam uses the word emuna, we're speaking about the emuna that Hashem gave Moshe the Torah as we have it today, that the words Moshe spoke on behalf of God truly came from Hashem, and he did not make them up. That's what we mean by emuna, that Moshe is a legitimate Navi charged by God to speak to us, okay? That is the only proof, and it's the only proof necessary because once we witness Moshe's becoming a Navi, what other miracles do we need? We don't need miracles that he's a Navi. It's first-hand knowledge. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for Klal Yisrael in that first generation, which nobody else has such a legend, first-hand knowledge that Moshe is a Navi. Therefore, we accepted Moshe. Therefore, we didn't need anything else beyond that. And therefore, Nisim are not that important to us, and they don't need to be used as a proof that Moshe is a Navi, because we have a much, much better proof. Therefore, the Nisim all serve a different purpose. So Rambam says the purpose is they were necessary. There's more than that. Okay, we'll continue. So, Michlal, Shekodim Davarzeh, listen now, this is what Rambam is talking about. What happened up till this point? What's the emuna ve'aminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdo on the Yam? Shekodim davar zeh lo haminu bo nemanas she omedes l'olam. They didn't trust him with a eternal faith prior to this. Elo le nemanas sheyesh achareha hirhur u'machshava. But they had a faith, a trust, but the kind you could still question, the kind you could still doubt. They did have trust in Moshe. Of course, the Makos, I mean, they were for a reason. But they were not conclusive enough. They just weren't proof enough, and so they were in a limbo state. They knew Moshe was pretty important and pretty powerful, and God was on his side, but that's one thing. There are tzaddikim in the world that Hashem will do nisim for. Tzaddik gozer v'Hashem mekayim. But that doesn't mean when he gives you a Torah forever after, with all its laws, you have to accept it, that he's a Navi. There's two different realities. There's a tzaddik, that's acceptable, and he does nisim, and he's impressive. But this is a whole other ballgame. We're going to accept a religion forever after, and all our children, with all its restrictions and laws and ramifications, based on what? That we need greater proof. That we need to know that he's speaking on behalf of Hashem, and that Hashem provided that for us. Beis, we're in Beis now. Nimsu. Elu sheshalech lehem heim ha'edim. This is what's unique about Moshe. Nimsu, we find. the people that Moshe is sent to speak on behalf of God, they are witnesses to his nevuah. Okay? Heim edim al nevuaso, shehi emes. Ve'ein etzorach lasos lehem osacher. He doesn't have to do any other simonim for them or signs. Sheheim v'hu edim v'dover. They're both edim on the same event. They're both witnesses to the same event. For example, he says, Kishnei edim sharo davar echad. Two witnesses saw the same thing. Biyachad, together. Shekol achad mehem ed l'chaveru. Each one is a witness to his friend. We both saw a car accident. So I don't have to now prove to you, through various methods, that I saw the accident, because you saw me see the accident. So we trust each other. So I know you were there, and I was there, so that's all we need. That we both are witnesses to the same thing. So one witness doesn't have to prove to his friend, Shu Omer Emes, that he's telling the truth. And they don't have to bring a raya to each other. Kach Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Yisrael Edim Lo. Every one of the Klal Yisrael was a witness to him. Achar Mamad Har Sinai, Ve'enu Tzarech Lasos Lemos. And he doesn't have to do any nisim for them. That's after Har Sinai. What about before Mar Har Sinai? Okay. So he says, V'zehu She'amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tchilas Nevuaso. This is what Hashem said to him. Now we go back to our pasuk in Shemos. This is how the Rambam reads it. This is how what Hashem said to him in the very beginning of his career as the Navi. At that point, by the snare, he gave Moshe miracles to do in Mitzrayim. Now, what was that for? Remember, put your hand in, it'll come out tzaras, throw the water on the ground, it'll be blood, throw the shevet down, it'll be a snake. What was that? And in fact, Hashem says to Moshe there, do these osos for shamu l'kolecho, so they'll trust you. They'll listen to you. He specifically gave him nisim, they'll listen to him. So, yada Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe knew at that time, shahamamin al piha osos, anyone who believes somebody to be speaking on behalf of God or whatever the message is because of miracles, yesh bilvavo dofi umahara umachashev v'hayin nishmat milech. He said, it's not enough. And that's why he didn't want to go. He said, so I'm going to come, do a few miracles? That's not enough for them. That they should follow me. For Amar, and that's what Moshe said, V'hein lo yaminu li, they're not going to trust me, which is not a gnai on Klal Yisrael. It's not something negative about Klal Yisrael, that they're not trusting people. It's positive. They're not idiots. They're used to magic. I'm going to do a few tricks. Why would they trust me? Furthermore, another yisod, which the Ramban brings down in a different place, not specifically mentioned by Rambam, but critical. Scan through your memory of the entire Sefer Bereishis. We've actually mentioned this. There has never been a case of Hashem telling somebody nevuah and then telling them to convey it to someone else. There is no case in Bereishis, ko tomar le, go tell someone that Hashem said this. That's why, by the way, Rivka, who got nevuah on the twins in the Beis Medrash Shem Be'ever, had no right to tell it to Yitzchak, because up until this point, a nevuah was a personal communication, and no Navi was ever given the right or the authority. No one had the right to transmit a nevuah to someone else. No one ever came and said, I'm speaking on behalf of God. The first one that is given this job is Moshe. So he says, why would they trust me? They have ancestors who are Nevi'im. They know that nevuah does come to a person. But if you want them to trust me, talk to them. Why would they trust me based on a few miracles? He's 100% right. We are not that kind of people. We're not fools. And so he says, Lo yaminu li. They are not going to have trust in what? That I'm speaking on your behalf. That kind of trust. And he's right. So what were those little miracles that Hashem gave him and said they're going to listen to you? They served a different purpose. Shehodiyah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, She'elu ha'osos. These miracles Moshe's doing in Mitzrayim, Einan ela ad sheyetu mi-Mitzrayim. They're only temporary. Until they get out of Egypt, va'achar sheyetzu, and after they get out, va'yamdu al ha'harazeh, and they're going to come to this mountain, yistale kahirhur, shemaharim acharecha, then all doubt will be removed, shani no sein l'chakan os, because here I'm going to give you a real sign, sheyedu, that they're going to know, shani shalachticha, that I sent you, be'emes, truthfully, mitchila, even from the beginning, v'lo yishar belibam hirhur, and then they won't doubt anything anymore, and that's our pasuk, and now let's reread our pasuk, Shemos. Moshe says, mi anochi ki elecha paro, who am I? In other words, I'm coming to speak in your name. If you want to read this in a drushy kind of way, remember Hashem said to Yaakov, Anochi ered imach, I will go down with you. Va'anochi a'elcha, I will bring you up. Gamalo. Anochi, Hashem himself. So Moshe is saying, Mi anochi? You said you're going down with them. Now you're sending me to speak in your name. That Nevi'im don't speak in the name of God. It's never happened before. And why would they trust that I'm speaking in your name? They're looking for Anochi. They want to know from God himself. They want Anochi to take them out of Mitzrayim. And why would they trust me that I'm in place of Anochi now? The precedent has never been set. Mi Anochi ki eilech ha'paravchi otis b'nei shom Mitzrayim? So Hashem says to him, ki eya imach, I am going to be with you until you come out of Mitzrayim through these little miracles, which are going to be enough to convince them that you're pretty impressive, and it'll just be enough to get them to follow you out of Mitzrayim. But it will not be enough to have them accept the Torah. That is way, they're going to be a lot more demanding before they accept a Torah upon themselves for the rest of history. So I'll be with you, I'll give you Nisim, you'll need to do a Nes, I'll do it for you, Tzadik Gozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, I'll be by your side, they'll be impressed. But that's not enough. And this is the sign that I sent you, not talking about the Sneh at all. You know what the sign that you can finally bring to Klal Yisrael that you really are sent by Hashem and the Torah really is Hashem? When you get them out of Mitzrayim and you serve Hashem on this mountain, then they'll know. So these Nisim are stopgap measures. So now you tell me. Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe Avdo on the Yam. What did they trust? That he's a tzaddik. That he's amazing. That Hashem will do Nisim for him. Not that he has the right to give him a Torah. We have, today people will go to a tzaddik, and a tzaddik will pray for somebody, or you'll see some what looks like a nes that a tzaddik will do. That doesn't mean that every single thing he tells you, you're bound to do. And we'll take this further. Okay? So, Rambam says here, that's how you read the pasuk. That Moshe would have to wait, and Klaisel would have to be patient to get the final conclusive proof that Moshe is the Navi and the Torah is from Hashem, as Moshe is transmitting it to them. That will be at the end, and prior, and then they'll retroactively believe everything. Prior to that, the Nisim are just to impress them temporarily. And they were impressive Nisim. Now, the point of all this is critical. Because if our trust in Moshe, this is, I'm paraphrasing the rest of the Rambam, you could read it yourself. If our trust in Moshe is because we witnessed it, then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing here is he's fortifying us, which we have been fortified, for the rest of history. If somebody stands up and does some crazy miracle that's just as impressive as Moshe's, then if we believed in Moshe because of his miracles, and here comes some competitor with other miracles, we'd be in a bind. But since we don't believe in Moshe because of his miracles, somebody can come and do all the miracles he wants. We heard Hashem speak to Moshe and say, give them the Torah. And we also know that fundamental to that is the Torah is eternal. And it's not changing it. And this is a bris forever. That's part of what we heard and what we knew. So come and do your miracles. It doesn't impress us. That's what angered them so much. They had so many stories, the other religions, of the great miracles that their people did, and we didn't care. Because you can't compare miracles to eyewitness experience. Miracles always, you can always doubt miracles, but something you experience for yourself and everybody around you experience, and you can confer with everybody and we all can assure ourselves that we all did experience this the same way, then we know that we're fortified against any other competing, you know, attempt to deny Moshe's veracity. Now, Hirambam goes on to say, we have a mitzvah to listen to a Navi in the course of Jewish history that comes to us and does Nisim. A Navi that comes to Klal Yisrael and does a Nes, like Moshe did in Mitzrayim, we have a mitzvah to listen to him. So Rambam says here, we don't trust him that because he did a Nes. We trust him because it says in the Torah that Moshe gave us that if a Navi comes and does a Nes, you can trust him provided he does not deny anything that Moshe said. That's how we protect ourselves from a Navi Sheker. Of course a Nes that a Navi does is impressive. That's why there are Nisim. It shocks us. It says, wait, this guy must be telling truth. Who else can do such a thing? Provided nothing in any way contradicts Moshe. Once it starts to contradict anything in the Torah from Moshe, it's a Navi Sheker. That's our proof. Because that's eyewitness. And these are just tricks. So this is the essence of the Rambam, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu went through the effort of bringing us all to the point of Nevuah, so to make sure that we will never be able to be fooled by what someone else will do. Now, besides the Rambam, there are other Sfarim written on fundamental principles of our faith, and one of them is the Sefer HaIkrim. A lot of you only have the first sheet. And the Sefer HaIkrim goes through in the 18th Perek the same concepts, but he just says here, it's just a reiteration, he says, when it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo, by the Yam, that they trusted Hashem and Moshe, he says, Ratzulomer, what they're trying to say, Sheminu, that they trusted, Shu Eved Hashem, that he's a servant of Hashem, that he's a tzaddik, that Hashem will do nisim. But that's it, but not more than that. Not that they have to accept Torah. Now, this concept has many ramifications. First of all, in halacha, there is a famous story in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar. They were having an argument between what the halacha is in a particular case. The majority, according to the 13 principles that the Torah can be analyzed with, which are scientific, Torah scientific principles, and only those principles, they were arguing that the halacha, based on their reading, their extrapolation, their comparisons to other psukim, that the halacha is like this. Rabbi Elazar says, no, all your logic makes sense, and it seems to be that the halacha is like this, and all the majority is getting ready to vote the halacha is like this, and that establishes it as halacha. But I know, Baruch HaKodesh, that you're all off. The halacha is different. So he says, if the halacha is like me, let this river flow backwards. And it did. You know this famous Gemara, right? Let the carob tree be uprooted. So you know what they said to him? Very nice, really cool miracles. We don't care. Okay, because we don't establish what the Torah is based on Nisim. We establish it based on the principles that Moshe gave us and the way Moshe set out in the Torah to create halacha in the case where it has to be derived. Miracles do not make a person have the authority to establish a law. Period. If you have a Talmud Chacham and you have a Navi, and the Navi has no right to establish a law based on his Nevuah, we don't accept halacha from Nevi'im. It's never, never in the history of Judaism did a halacha be implanted into our whole code because some Navi said he knew it. We don't accept based on miracles, and we don't accept it because somebody claims to be. We accept it because it comes through the process that Moshe gave us. Okay? So that Gemara here with Rabbi Eliezer is critical, because, and they say Torah lo b'shamayim hi. You know, you could do all the nisim you want, but that's not going to impress us. It's not going to establish Torah for us. That's not how we set Torah law, based on somebody's miracles. Now, that's very important because that means that if we would establish Torah law based on miracles. So if somebody could prove that miracle was a trick, there goes the law. So we establish it based on the 13 midos, the logical principles. Now, this has other ramifications. Okay, before we get into a major question, which of course you should all be having, regarding Korach, but before we get there, what about nowadays? You know, this is just Judaism. We have to be very, very careful with Judaism and what inspires a person and what motivates a person to do the halacha, to be a good Jew. If it's miracles, okay, we're in deep water. We are in big trouble. Because if a person is inspired to keep a mitzvah based on some miracle story that they heard, so if somebody can prove to them that miracle didn't happen, they don't have to keep a mitzvah. Also, there are miracle stories that people love to tell. I just heard a ridiculous one yesterday. Okay? And as we are logical people, okay, we know there are supernatural things. I can tell you amazing things that happened in my life that are, you know, the Yad Hashem that is, and I'll tell you an interesting one actually soon. But here's what happens when we decide to keep a mitzvah based on a miracle. First of all, it's illogical. Who knows if the miracle took place? Who knows if the person is just exaggerating? And how come some people seem to have so many miracles, and some people nebuch have doing this mitzvahs all their life and get nothing? Okay, I remember once hearing a story about a woman who decided to cover her hair, and it was a big struggle for her, back and forth. They had 15 years of marriage, and she decided she's covering her hair. So that night she went to sleep. It was Friday night, and her little Shabbos candles that burned for 2.5 hours, like the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, burned all night, like an open miracle. Right here in Brooklyn, and burned all night, and they were still burning in the morning. So first of all, of course it's a lie, obviously. Second of all, what about the people that cover their hair every single day of their life, and it's a struggle, and they don't get their Shabbos candles burning. What about them? What about a person that says, you know, I'm trying to be good and nothing ever happens for me, so then they get uninspired and they want to do miracles? It's foolish. Totally ridiculous. We keep the Torah because it's emes, because it came from Moshe, not because of the fake stories we hear. Here's the one I heard yesterday. The Jewish army was about to go into a house in Gaza, and an old lady is sitting outside, and she said, don't go in. And they threw a grenade, and the whole house exploded. So I said, well, that's amazing. Baruch Shem, whoever this lady was a shaliach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, amazing. No, wait, the story goes on. Then they went to the next house, and she was sitting there again. She said, this house is booby-trapped. And it was. Then it happened four times. And I said, who are you? And she said, Rachel Imenu. I'm like, wasn't the first story good enough? That was a pretty impressive story. It doesn't have to be, to go, you know, okay. Now, when my kids come home. All right, but it probably was, till it got from that chayal to us, trust me. Okay, the point is, when my kids come home with these Maiselech stories, and of course you have to realize you're talking to a Yeki, when my kids come home with the Maiselech stories, I say to them, okay, usually I don't believe them at all. Sometimes, okay, it depends on it. I said, but you know what is a greater, you know what is a greater inspiration than these silly little baloney stories that everybody's telling? Do you know what's a greater inspiration? That a Jew, look around the neighborhood, who has so much tzaras, who has illness and poverty and difficulty and shalom bias and problems with the children, and people came from the Holocaust, and they keep the Torah and they put a smile on their face and they do the mitzvahs and they don't deny, they don't get angry at Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's inspiring. That's a Jew. That's what you can learn from. Real people, not stories that you heard 15th hand. There are stories that are, of course, everybody has stories that show there's a Yad Hashem. But we have to be careful between realistic stories that prove that Hashem is with us and watching us, and silly miracle stories.
Why?
That,
there are miracles.
Of course, there are nisim, but when you hear about a nes galoy, when you hear about things that, you know, put it like this. I once asked my grandfather, did you ever have one of these stories happen to you? He says, yes. So I said, tell me about it. He says, one time a lady called me for Hilchas Nidah Shaila, and I think I gave her the wrong answer. So I dove into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I didn't know who she was, she called anonymously, please let her call back, and she called back. Now, what that means is Hashem is watching. Here's a story that happened in my family, but we have much more to do. So, but this is not the same type of open miracle story. We were camping in the Delaware Water Gap. This is, by the way, in the back of the Olamino, and they changed it. We're camping in the Delaware Water Gap. We're little kids. We've been camping for years. My parents always went and found like a private patch of the river to swim. We're all little, and we're out in the river, and it's about 3 feet high and 50, 60 feet wide. It's a strong current. And this couple, like way up, hundreds of feet up, you know, we see vaguely, my mother noticed a couple up there. And the guy stops, he's trying to swim across the river. We didn't pay much attention. A man and a woman, a young guy, I remember he had a black beard and black hair. And all of a sudden we're on the raft, and my mother screams, she sees this guy floating by underwater. So my mother, of course, in Olamena was my father, grabs this guy and pulls him out of the water, and she drags him to shore, okay, and I shouldn't admit this, but we had a beautiful pedigree Dalmatian for 13 years, and my dog was with us, of course, was trying to, you know, lick him and trying to get, he was unconscious and trying to help out over there. I particularly remember this, and my father, they put him on the ground, they did artificial respiration, he started vomiting, he was blue, I remember clearly he was convulsing. My mother ran up the hill to the car, it was like a bank, a hill with trees, ran up the hill to the car, got in the car, drove 3 miles to the ranger station, called an ambulance. The ambulance came. We wrapped him in our towels. My mother went with him to the hospital because the daughter, the girlfriend, was freaking out, like completely beside herself. They were young, so my mother took him to the hospital, and he recovered. And my parents basically saved his life. And my father did the artificial respiration. My mother pulled him out, etc. Anyway, they saved his life, and he was of course very thankful. And he showed up of Rosh Hashanah with chocolates and the blanket all cleaned and everything. So my father always wondered why he was zocha to save this random man, you know, on the banks of the Delaware Water Gap. So the man's name was Pat McIntyre, and he was from Perth Amboy. So my father's a very friendly man, and he was davening in Shul in Elizabeth. We lived in Elizabeth, and somebody's there, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? I'm Yosef Schwab. He says, oh, my name is so-and-so. I'm from Perth Amboy. So my father said, you know, do you know the McIntyre family in Perth Amboy? So the man says, of course, everybody knows the McIntyre family. Dr. McIntyre, turns out this boy's father, he says he's a tzaddik. He's a doctor, and he treats all the rebbeim and their children and the poor Jews and the refugees for free with the greatest of dignity. He's a tzaddik. So my father said, you know, I had the zechus to save his child's life. An Orthodox Jew saved his child's life. So you see the Yad Hashem in things like this. These are not lie. These are not baloney stories, but be circumspect with stories that are, you know, open miracles. And mostly, even if you want to believe the stories, that is not why we do a mitzvah and cover our hair because some lady's candle supposedly burned. That's not the reason. Okay. Now, so we are a people. We are not a people because also one more thing. You can turn on the TV Sunday morning to these gospel channels and you will see those Christians telling you the most unbelievable stories. And I heard of it. Our church needed $700, $717.32 and I got down on my knees and I prayed. So, and that morning, an envelope came under my door with $770. You can hear as many stories as you want from them. So we are not that kind of people. Rambam is saying here, Hashem gave us all nevuah. So we shouldn't believe miracles, and that shouldn't be the reason why we keep the Torah. That was true then, and it's true now. We are not a foolish, superstitious people. We are a logical people, which brings us to the next point. So how did Korach deny Moshe's validity if Hashem said that they're all going to trust you because they're all nevi'im? Now, the fact is, and this is really fleshed out in the Sefer Imre Chayin, which is, of course, a relative, as usual. Yehuda Levenberg, he's married to my father's cousin. And there's a Talmud Chacham, and he fleshes this out. He goes by the Parshas, but it's a lot of halacha. And he discusses what was Korach's sin. And according to everybody, especially the Pshat, there's no question that Korach was kofer in the seventh and the eighth of the Animamins, which Rambam is establishing. The seventh and the eighth of the Animamins are the following. What we just learned. Animamin be'amuna shalema. Shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom haya amitis. That's what we just learned. I entrust, I have emuna that it was true, because we heard it. Vishu aya av le'neviim, he's the father of every Navi, to those that came before him, and that are after him, which means he's the super greatest Navi of all, and you know Moshe's nevuah was different in four ways than everybody else's nevuah. We're not going to go into that now. That is the first animamin, that Moshe's nevuah is true, that Hashem spoke to him, and that's the Torah we have. The second, the eighth animamin is aniyah mamin b'muna shlema shekol ha-Torah ha-metzuya ata b'deinu. The Torah we have now was given to Moshe alav ha-shalom. Now there's a distinction between the two. Let's be careful. One is that Moshe's nevuah is true. The second is that the Torah we have, it was given to Moshe, because there's a space between the first, those two. You could say that I believe that Moshe's nevuah was true, that Hashem spoke to Moshe. But maybe when he wrote the Torah, he also added some of his own things. Just because you believe that Moshe heard Hashem as we witnessed, doesn't mean that when he finally put the Torah, compiled the Torah, every word was what he heard from Hashem. Maybe he added some things. Maybe some things were his own. So there's another animamin that he didn't add a thing. That everything we received as the Torah is exactly what Hashem spoke to Moshe. But be careful. The Torah does not represent every word that Moshe spoke for 40 years in the desert. Moshe was also the legislative leader, the technical leader. He had to run a nation. A lot of things Moshe said and did were his own, through his own seichel, obviously. But when he spoke for Hashem, that was emes. Everything that came down in the Torah, that was from Hashem. That was recorded. Anything ultimately recorded was straight from Hashem. But during the course of a normal day, of course he was a regular leader, a bal seichel, a chacham, he had to do what he had to do. No question that Korach was kofar on both of these, because he says to Moshe, we don't believe Hashem sent you, and we don't believe that you chose Aaron based on Hashem. So first of all, saying we don't believe Hashem sent you is kofar on the first one, on that the seventh animamin, that Hashem spoke to Moshe, and that the Torah that we have, which in the Torah already is that Aaron should be the Kohen, that came from Hashem. Korach was kofar on both of them. How is it possible that Korach in the Midbar, who saw himself, he stood at Har Sinai and witnessed Moshe's Nevuah. How could he possibly be kofar? That's the basic fundamental question. Hashem promised that nobody would ever be kofar. Right? You see, it's a huge issue. They all deal with it. So, just look at the psukim. Look what Korach says to him. Okay, Korach says to him, Madua tisnasu akal Hashem, why are you making yourself greater? Right? First he says, Rav lechem, ki kol ha'eza kulam kadoshim. Everybody heard Hashem speak. Okay? We all heard Hashem speak. He didn't speak to you in only. We all heard Hashem speak. And even Korach, who heard Hashem speak to Moshe, in the end, Chazal say, he said, and God didn't tell you what you're telling us. And then he says, and why do you make yourself greater? Why do you hoard power? And really what he's saying is, why are you choosing Aaron? That was not a directive from Hashem. And if you want to take it further, really the halacha goes like this. A Kohen Gadol has to be somebody in the first generation, Aaron, but after that from Aaron's descendants. Technically speaking, the Kohen Gadol can be chosen by Sanhedrin or by a body of people, and there could be many worthy candidates for Kohen Gadol. In fact, if a Kohen Gadol isn't good, they can depose him. So what Korach is saying is, look, but you choosing Aaron doesn't come from Hashem. Oh, maybe Hashem told you, choose a worthy candidate for Kohen Gadol. So you presented Aaron. And Hashem said, okay, he's good, but you could have presented somebody else like me. Why'd you bypass me? So in other words, your choosing Aaron was your own. And maybe Hashem rubber stamped it, but you could have chosen someone else. And by the way, even more, we don't even believe that your Nevuah is coming in all these cases from Hashem. So he's kofar. So how could that happen? Now, we said that Moshe says to Korach, Moshe says he's going to do a nes, Vayomer Moshe, Bezos Tedun, this is how you're going to know, Ki Hashem Shalachani, that's the Animamin number 7, Lasos is Kol HaMaisim Ha'ela, to do all of these great miracles, Ki Lo Milibi, and not, it's not from my heart, that's Animamin number 8. Two things, A, Hashem sent me, and B, I didn't make anything up. So he goes ahead and he opens the ground, and that is going to be a proof to Korach that he did not invent anything, and that these nisim that he's doing were Hashem sent him and gave him authority to do nisim in order to prove specifically, this is really how Rambam reads it, Hashem gave him authority to do these astonishing nisim to prove that he didn't make anything up, because the fact that he is sent from Hashem, that was proven at Har Sinai. That he doesn't have to prove to Korach. Why Korach denies it, we'll get to in a minute. But the fact that he's sent by Hashem, he doesn't have to prove. Everyone witnessed that. What he does have to prove is that when he makes a law, and it's in the Torah, that comes from Hashem, and Hashem gave him authority to do nisim to prove that he's not making anything up. So when Rambam says in here, in the Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that he opened up the ground to swallow Korach, but not to prove that he's a Navi, Rambam's making a distinction. He's not proving he's a Navi. That he's not even bothering with, because that happened at Har Sinai. But he is using it to prove that he didn't make anything up beyond his Nevuah. Okay? So what allowed Korach to make a mistake? So he brings from the Kehilas Yaakov, which I'm pretty sure is a stipler, unless there's another sefer written with the same name, says the following. When Hashem said to Moshe, they're going to hear me, so they're going to trust you forever. That is, if they're willing to be logical. If they're willing to be logical, they'll understand that from the experience that they had, that they were on the Neviim, that I sent you. Okay? And then I'm going to give you, as we just said, authority to do nisim if they doubt that the whole Torah is directly from Hashem, and if they suggest that you're adding something beyond your Nevuah. But so what happened to Korach? So he says here, if you're not willing to be logical, and you let your desire for kavod get in the way and cloud your thinking, you could be kofar in what you experienced on your own, and then gam b'chayaminu la'olam doesn't apply to you. Hashem cannot guarantee that a person will trust Moshe's nevuah if he goes out of the framework of logic. And he starts getting into emotions, and he starts getting into fantasy, and he starts getting into the whole area of taiva for kavod. Then Korach himself, who witnessed Moshe's Nevuah, can be a kofar, all because he can't think straight anymore, And he's outside of the box of they will trust you forever, because that's based on logic. Based on logic, we have enough proof that Moshe spoke for Hashem. We witnessed it. Based on the opening of the ground, now we know that everything that eventually is included in Torah is from Hashem through Moshe. There's a lot of stuff that wasn't included in Torah. That's Moshe's own stuff that he needed to say and do as a leader. But anything that became Torah, that's from Hashem. And Aaron's choice was already Torah. And so Korach was, that was Korach saying, now why did, so we said, so he, the Kilas Yaakov says, beware. Once you go out of the framework of logic, you could be kofar in anything. You can deny anything, even what your own eyes witnessed. Other than that, if a person stays within the confines of logic and reason, we have absolute, solid, foolproof, complete, secure ground to stand on, that our first generation were eyewitnesses. And that makes all the difference in the world. And their first generations were compelled by the sword. So don't be confused that now we all have Mesorah, and we all have tradition, and we all have, that means nothing. Our first generation were witnesses. That's our proof. That's how we read the Pasuk. And that has stood by Klal Yisrael till this day and kept us a very logical and intellectual and, grounded people, and not let us veer off. Despite the fact that we lived among cultures that were superstitious like crazy, we did not veer off the mainstream into those directions. We stayed firmly grounded in logic, and therefore, Baruch Hashem, we have survived till today as an intellectual and impressive people. And that is, and that's the legacy that we hold and that we continue forward. Okay. Have a wonderful week, everyone. I will not be here, Mitzvah Shem, next week.